Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You have come here specifically to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all fallen souls. Purport. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings in his Pratana, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Daya Kara More, Toma Vina Kedayalo, Jagata Samsare, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatara, Mosama Patita Prabhu, Na Paiba Ara. My dear Lord, please be merciful to me. Who can be more merciful than your Lordship within these three worlds? You appear as an incarnation just to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. But I assure you that you will not find a soul more fallen than me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's specific mission is to deliver fallen souls. Of course, in this age of Kali, there is hardly anyone who is not fallen according to the calculations of Vedic behavior. In his instructions to Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the so-called followers of Vedic religion in this way. Madhya 19.146. Veda nishtaya madhya adeka veda muke mane veda nisidha papa kare dharma nahi gane. So-called followers of Vedic principles simply accept the Vedas formally, but they act against Vedic principles. This is symptomatic of the age of Kali. People claim to follow a certain type of religion, saying formally, I am Hindu, I am Muslim, I am Christian, I am this or that. But actually no one follows the principles enunciated in religious scriptures. This is the disease of this age. Therefore, the merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has simply advised us to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Iva Kevalam. The Lord can deliver anyone and everyone, even though one may have fallen from the injunctions of revealed scriptures. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. Consequently, he is known as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of all fallen souls. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachade Shatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. You have come here specifically to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all fallen souls. So this is a verse spoken by the exalted Sri Ramananda Rai. The context of this verse is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had embarked on his South Indian tour. By foot, he had walked from Jagannath Puri all the way south and first visited the Kurma temple in Kurmastan, and then he proceeded south to the temple of Varaha Narsinga, and then from there he had come to this place called Vijayanagar, which is on the banks of the river Godavari. Before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had departed on his South Indian tour, he had received a request from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "You should please go and see a great devotee by the name of Ramananda Rai. He is very expert in all of the conclusions of the devotional scriptures. And you will feel great ecstasy in his company." So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had arrived. And we've been discussing over the last few weeks, very nicely discussed and chanted by the various speakers, how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had stood and waited. He saw Ramananda Rai arrive with a big entourage, carried on a palanquin. He was the governor of Madras. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu patiently waited. And eventually, Ramananda Rai saw this effulgent sannyasi sitting alone. And immediately he was attracted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was a wonderful meeting between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they embraced and they felt great ecstasy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu contained himself because he saw there were smarter Brahmins present and he didn't want to, they would misunderstand how a sannyasi is embracing a pound and shillings man, a governor. And they would have been critical within their minds. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu restrained himself. And then for the first time, Sri Ramananda Rai spoke. And it is said, a pure devotee is by nature silent. But within his heart, he carries a very deep mood of devotion. And he carries various bhavas. And when he speaks, that's the first time we get to see the bhava and experience the mood of the great devotees. So this was Sri Ramananda Rai. And in these previous two verses and this verse, you can see what is his inner mood. And listening to his words very carefully is very, very instructive for us. Very, very instructive for us. But before I speak about his words in this verse, I just wanted to speak a little more about Sri Ramananda Rai. Because for most of us, the first time we hear of Sri Ramananda Rai is when he appears here as the governor of Madras, accompanied by an entourage. And then he's been portrayed as a great devotee. And here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks the highest philosophy It is explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Arinam Chintamani that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took great care to present the proper spiritual teachings to the living entities. This was Mahaprabhu's mission. He took great care to present. And how did he do this? He did this by making various devotees explain aspects of devotional service while he sat and listened in great bliss. This was Mahaprabhu's method. We know it is said that Mahaprabhu only presented 8 teachings, so-called by himself. But the rest, he presented through his devotees. And it is said, through the mouth of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he presented the real principle of liberation. Through the mouth of Srila Rupa Goswami, he presented the details of rasa. Through the mouth of Srila Haridas Thakur, he presented the glories of Harinam, the holy name. And through the mouth of Sri Ramananda Rai, he presented the concept of rasa. So Srila Rupa Goswami gave the principles of rasa, but Srila Ramananda Rai gave the concept of rasa. And what is the concept of rasa? What is the topmost concept of rasa? Madhurya ras. Before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Madhurya ras was not known. Previously, people should worship Lord Krishna in the mood of Dasya ras. And maybe Vatsalya ras, Bal Gopal, Krishna as a baby. But the mood of Vatsalya ras, the topmost teachings, that was not known. But in this chapter, through the mouth of Srila Ramananda Rai, that is revealed. So it is a very important chapter. So who is Srila Ramananda Rai? And how is it that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose him to reveal the highest? We know from previous classes, there's been descriptions that Ramananda Rai is a Nitya Siddha, an eternal associate of the Lord in the spiritual world. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he is Vishakha Devi. And last week Sunday, Kartik Chandra Prabhu was explaining very mysteriously, he's also Lalita Devi, he's Arjuna Gopi, he's Arjuna. Who can understand this? But some history of Srila Ramananda Rai I was reading, and I wanted to know, how did Ramananda Rai become such a rasacharya? And there is one magazine called Sri Krishna Katamrita Bindu that's compiled by Madhavananda Prabhu. Many of you all may read this monthly magazine. It's very high class Krishna Katha you get in this magazine. So I found one issue which describes Ramananda Rai. And in that issue, there's a little description about the background of Srila Ramananda Rai. We know in the other parts of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is description that Ramananda Rai is the son of Bhavananda Rai. He's the son of Bhavananda Rai. And Bhavananda Rai had 5 sons. Ramananda Rai, Patanayak Gopinath, Kalanidhi, Sudanidhi, and Nayak Vaninath. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Adi Leela, chapter 10, text 134, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhavananda Rai, you are Pandu, and your 5 sons are my dear devotees. Ramananda Rai and I are one, although our bodies are different. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares in the Adilila, 10th chapter 132. And in Sri Krishna Katamrita Bindu, it is written that Sri Ramananda Rai, he took birth as the son of Bhavananda Rai in a village called Venkatapur near a place called Alalanath. Nowadays, if you go, it's called Bentapur, and the place has been renamed slightly to Alanath, Larnath. You can go there. We can go there. So he said, in his childhood, this little child, Ramananda, he would sing the glories of Radha and Krishna. And as he sang the glories of Radha and Krishna, tears would constantly glide from his eyes. And he was not interested in any type of play. And he was not interested in any other type of pastimes. Simply, he would only read about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and tears would flow from his eyes. And if he did want to feel inclined to some play, he would create with twigs and leaves little groves in the mood of creating groves for Radha and Krishna. And then he moved on to his youth. And very early in his youth, he became the chief of all great scholars. And he studied all the scriptures. One can wonder, you know, in these conversations which we are going to hear, he just quotes the verse. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, "Go higher! Go higher!" And he's just quoting the verses. How would the governor of Madras know all of this? But this is his background. From a youth, he was a great scholar. And he was well versed in all of the devotional conclusions. And he was known as the topmost of all rasikas. And he said at that time he conquered everyone by his own qualities. And King Prataparudra, he noted this very exceptional personality. And he chose him to become the governor of Madras, which was still under the kingdom of King Prataparudra. So that's how Sri Ramananda Rai became the governor of Madras. But when he came and he was there, internally all of those bhavs and moods was, he kept it inside. And now in this chapter, it all comes out beautifully. So this is some background. And now we'll move on to maybe discussing the verse. I want to focus on three aspects of this verse. Beautiful aspects. The first part, Ramananda says, "Ama nishta rite tumara hiyan agamana." He reveals the mood. He says, "Lord, you came to this place specifically to save me." He didn't say, "You came here because I know Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested you." He didn't say, "I know you came here because you wanted to discuss the higher principles." What did he say? "You came here to save me." And this is the quality of a great Vaishnava, the topmost Vaishnava. They always consider themselves fallen. And they have this one quality called gratitude. I was looking for a long time, what is the Sanskrit word for gratitude? You know Sutta Prabhu? Kritagya, yeah. Kritagya, it's found in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when the 64 qualities of Lord Krishna are being discussed. One of the qualities of the Lord is grateful. Kritagya. And literally translated, this word means knowing what has been done. That's a literal translation of this word. In our shastras, it is said, Only one with a grateful heart can appreciate and understand what is mercy. If there's no gratitude in the heart, one would never be able to understand and appreciate what is mercy. I always appreciate one statement His Holiness Radhanath Swami makes. He gives it quite often in his classes. He says, gratitude is the quality of the heart in which bhakti grows. Beautifully, the way he phrases it. Gratitude is the quality of the heart in which bhakti grows. So this is the nature of the great Vaishnavas. And Srila Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur, he explains what is the extent of the devotee's gratitude. And he quotes, he says, even if a devotee serves Krishna for 1,000 universal creations, he cannot repay the debt he feels towards Krishna for having received the opportunity to serve the Lord's lotus feet. Meaning, he never forgets. A devotee never forgets the mercy that he has received. And this expression of gratitude, he's explained, it has two benefits. The first benefit is we become more conscious of what we have received. And secondly, it connects us more intimately with the person from whom we have received that mercy. And when we look at Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see this quality throughout. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatan Goswami, they speak about how fallen they were. And how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saved them. Haridas Thakur speaks in the same way. Practically all of the great Vaishnavas, you'll see, this is their mood. They always remember where they came from. Where they came from. And this is one very important quality, that one always remembers where we were and what we have received from our Param Guru, Srila Prabhupada, and our immediate gurus. In the early days of ISKCON, in New York City, Srila Prabhupada, he had a stroke. And after suffering from the stroke, Prabhupada decided that maybe he should go to India for a while to recuperate. And when Prabhupada was about to depart, there were some discussions about what would happen to his fledgling followers when he was not there. And one devotee suggested that maybe they should ask one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers to come. And then Mukunda Maharaj, who was Michael at that time, he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, we've been discussing, and there is a suggestion that maybe we should ask one of your godbrothers to come in your absence. And Prabhupada was silent. And then suddenly tears start to roll down his eyes. And he said, I was rotting in this material world, but my Guru Maharaj came and saved me. How could I ever forget him? How could I ever forget him? And that was the end of the story. Prabhupada came and saved these devotees. There was no question of anyone else coming. And, Prabhupada says, our Vaishnava philosophy is not like the Mayavadi philosophy. Once Srila Prabhupada was Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Prabhupada was traveling and he had to climb up to a little elevated position. And then one devotee reached out his hand to give to Srila Prabhupada, so Prabhupada can take as a grip, you know, to reach the elevated position. And as soon as Prabhupada took his hand, Prabhupada pushed it away. And the devotee was shocked. But Srila Prabhupada, every one of his actions, everything he did was an instruction. And Prabhupada said, this is like the Mayavadis. They accept Guru, and as soon as they become advanced, dismiss Guru. We are not like that. Our philosophy is we are servants of the Guru eternally. Even in the spiritual world, we are the servant of Guru. We are subordinate to the Guru. We never become greater than the Guru. And this was very nicely explained in one verse by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto, 9th chapter, text number 28. I won't read the Sanskrit because of time. But Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narad Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? How could I leave his service? So this is very instructive from Prahlad Maharaj also. We never forget where we come from. Never. We never forget who saved us and how we became saved. And the whole Vaishnav Siddhanta is, the more we advance, the more we understand how fallen we are. Yesterday's class, Vishwambar Prabhu was saying how he had this eureka moment, this great realization. And he said, do you know what that realization was? I realized how fallen I am. So if ever we want to understand if we are advancing in our spiritual lives, this is one metric, this is one meter. We start to be conscious, we start to understand how fallen I am. Therefore, in our philosophy, we say there's three levels of devotee, the third class, the second class, and the first class. The third class devotee, the Kanishta Adhikari, he feels, I am the only devotee, no one else is a devotee. But the Uttama Adhikari, the greatly advanced devotee, he sees the completely opposite. And we'll see it in the second part of this verse, very clearly stated that everyone is a devotee, only I am not a devotee. And that is an amazing aspect of our Vaishnava philosophy. And it's so clearly demonstrated here by Srila Ramananda Rai. So I'll now move on to the second part of what I wanted to discuss. What time do we finish today on Sunday, Prabhu? Oh, okay. Sunday, 9 o'clock. Oh, okay. We leave some time for questions. Okay. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the specific mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was what? To deliver the fallen souls. To deliver the fallen souls. And Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse, very beautiful verse from Srila Narottam Das Thakur's songs, where Narottam Das Thakur is saying, I am most fallen. And because I am most fallen, that makes me eligible for your mercy. So this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that in Kali Yuga practically everyone is fallen. I don't think anybody needs to remind us how fallen we are. But in the purport, Prabhupada also alludes to one class of people that do not think that they are fallen. Like if you go today and you to say to anyone in the street, you are fallen, and you are fallen because of your behavior, your lifestyle, they may be accepting of it. But if you go to a religious person and you say you are fallen, what would they say? No. I'm religious. I follow the scriptures. So therefore Prabhupada is so intelligently, Prabhupada is saying that there are people, they consider themselves religious. But the reality is nobody can claim that they are religious. Why? Because firstly, people do not understand the religious principles. What to speak of following them? So even if some people claim to be religious and they are not recipients, that they are not able recipients of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, then we can quote this verse. So everyone in this Kali Yuga is fallen and everyone is eligible. Therefore, there is this one beautiful verse quoted by Prabodhananda Sarasvati in his Sri Chaitanya Chandamrita. Prabhupada quotes it very often. Dante nidaya trinakam padayo nipatya kritva chakaku satam etadaham bravimi. E sadava sakalam eva vihaya durad chaitanya chandra charane kurat anuragam. You know the meaning of this verse? Prabhupada used to quote this verse. He says, this is how we approach, the preachers should approach the citizens of Kali Yuga. Dante nidaya trinakam nipatya. With the straw between my teeth, I approach you. Padayo, I grab your feet and I say, hey sadhava sakalam, you are such a great sadhu. You are so learned. But why don't you Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurut Anuragam? But please, I appeal to you. You please take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I was reading recently my Guru Maharaj's latest book, I'll Build You a Temple, the Juhu Story. And there, Maharaj quotes in the very early days of Prabhupada's wanting to start his mission in Bombay. And he one day called all of the elite of Mumbai. And when he called them, when they sat down, he quoted this verse. Dante nidhaya trinakam padayo nipatya. He says, I with a straw between my teeth, I come to you. I know you are very respectable, very learned people. But please take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method for delivering the fallen conditioned souls, as Prabhupada says here. Everyone is fallen. Therefore, the merciful Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised us to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra, it is the instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted us to follow. And therefore, in the scriptures, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the verse, Kaler dosha nide rajan, asti ye eko mahanguna, kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajit. My dear king, this is Shukadev Goswami speaking to Maharaj Parikshit in the 11th canto, 12th canto. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. So this Kali Yuga, it is an ocean of faults. It is an ocean of faults, but there is one good quality about this Kali Yuga. That simply by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we can become free of all material bondage. Prayanal payusha sabya kalav asman yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men almost always have but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. That is us. That is us. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this is how Mahaprabhu is delivering all of the fallen conditioned souls. And there's another beautiful verse in the 8th canto, 23rd chapter, 16th verse. Mantratas tantratas chidram deshe kalahar vashtutaha sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava. And the translation of this verse is mantratas. In this age of Kali, there may be so many discrepancies in chanting mantras. Tantratas. There may be so many discrepancies in understanding the principles of knowledge. Desha. There may be so many discrepancies in place. Kala. There may be so many discrepancies in terms of right time. Ara. There may be so many discrepancies in terms of who's a recipient. Vastuta. There may be so many discrepancies in terms of paraphernalia. But sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava. Meaning, simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, everything becomes perfect. There can be fault in all of these things, but when one chants the holy name of the Lord, everything becomes perfect. So in terms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and saving the fallen souls, so Mahaprabhu came to cast his net over all of the world, the entire world. But there were some people who were escaping Mahaprabhu's net. Haridas Yavarya Prabhu, do you know who was escaping his net? Yes, Prabhu? Yes. No. Most of us got caught, but there were two who escaped Mahaprabhu's net. Those were the Smartas and the Mayavadis. They thought they knew everything. And how did Mahaprabhu capture these two classes of people? Srinivas? He sent the Senapati Bhakta. Yeah, true. in our current times, but during his own presence. Sorry? Humility, yes, one of it. And Smarahari Prabhu? Yeah. He did it in two ways. His beauty, yes. His beauty and his humility. And also, for the smartest, he took sannyas. You know, Mahaprabhu was prompted to take sannyas because when he came back from Gaya, he was chanting Gopi, Gopi, and all the smartest became very angry with him. And he said, oh, and they were heavily critical of him. He says, the only way I can overcome if I take sannyas, then at least the smartas, they have some respect for the sannyas. And then the Mayavadis, he captured them by his beauty and his humility. When he was in Benares, and he was chanting, they were criticizing him. You're just like a bhavikaha. That means like a sentimental personality. But indirectly they were praising him. Because we know in the third verse of the Bhagavatam, there's this word, bhavikaha. Means a connoisseur of bhakti. But they were criticizing him, saying, you're just a sentimental person. And Mahaprabhu just smiled when they criticized him. And then when Prakashananda Sarasvati was sitting in the assembly with 10,000 of his disciples, Mahaprabhu went and sat at the back where one washes their feet, and then he displayed his beauty of 10,000 sons. And Prakashananda Sarasvati and all of the sannyasis, they just looked and they said, who is this beautiful personality? And Prakashananda Sarasvati got up from his Vyasasan. He walked all the way to the back. He took Mahaprabhu by the hand and he brought him to the front and he sat him down. And then they said, you are a sannyasi. You're coming in our lineage. Why are you behaving like this? You should study Vedanta. And Mahaprabhu said, I don't understand Vedanta. I'm a fool. My guru told me, I'm a fool, I should just chant the Maha Mantra. But they said, no, we want to explain Vedanta to you. Then Mahaprabhu said, okay, explain. And they explained, and very humbly he just listened. He just listened. And then he said, can I speak now? And then they said, I think you can speak because we know whatever you're going to say will be reasonable. Just because of his humility. Whatever you speak, we know will be reasonable. So you can speak. So normally, you know, we will get into a tussle. But when someone appreciates, someone feels you humble, they become receptive. So through his humility and his beauty, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he captured also all of the sannyasis and the Mayavadis. And in this way, Mahaprabhu's mission became complete. Complete. There's more to say on that particular aspect, but I'll move on to the final part of what I wanted to say today. And I wanted to speak a bit about the word patita pavana. A patita means fallen. And pavana means the deliverer. Srila Prabhupada, in his final days in Vrindavan, some of his godbrothers came to see him. And he referred to himself as Mahapatita. You know, patita means fallen, and Mahapatita means greatly fallen. So Prabhupada was saying, you know, I was a bit offensive to you all. I preached in a heavy way. Please forgive me. I am Mahapatita. And his godbrother said, no, 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 no. You are not Mahapatita. You are Mahapatita Pavana. You deliver. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has this title of Patita Pavana. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is explained that the this word patitapavan, it is only truly explained in the context of Jagayan Madai. And in the Adi Lila 10th chapter, text number 120, it says, Mahakripa Patra Prabhura Jagai Madai Patita Pavana Namera Shakshidu Bai. Jagai and Madai, the 89th and 90th branches of the tree, were the greatest recipients of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. These two brothers were the witnesses who proved that Lord Chaitanya was rightly named Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the fallen souls. A very similar thing is said by Narottam Das Thakur again in his Prarthana, in his famous song, which we know as Hari Hari Vipale Janama. He says in that song, Brajendra Nandana Jay Sachi Suta Hoila Se Balaram Hoila Nitai Dina Hina Jata Chilo Hari Nama Udarilo Tara Shakshi Jagai Madai. Lord Krishna, who is the son of the king of Raja, became the son of Mother Sachi, Lord Chaitanya. And Balaram became Nitai. The holy name delivered all those souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jaga and Madai, are evidence of this. So who are the ultimate evidence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being Patita Pavan? It's Jaga and Madai. Now I just want to... There's a very beautiful section in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Very beautiful section. Where Jagai and Madai, they give the evidence. They give the evidence of why this statement is true. And amazingly, they give Shastric evidence. And in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it is explained that they were blessed with Sudha Sarasvati. There's two types of knowledge. We all know knowledge comes from Sarasvati Devi. There is two types of knowledge that comes from Sarasvati Devi. The first is called Sudha Sarasvati and the other is called Vida Sarasvati. And basically, in essence, Sudha Sarasvati is that knowledge which recognizes Krishna as the enjoyer. And Vida Sarasvati is that knowledge which recognizes us as enjoyers. So it is explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that these two devotees, Jagai and Madai, they were blessed with Sudha Sarasvati, very special knowledge. And this knowledge was so great, it enabled them to speak some very, very special prayers. And in the Chaitanya Bhagavat is explained that these prayers, they are so great that they are hidden in the Vedas. And even great Vedic scholars cannot understand or cannot find what Jagai and Madai spoke. So I'm now going to speak this evidence, which is very, very interesting, very, very relishable, about why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavana. And this is from spoken from the 13th chapter of the Madhya Kanda of Chaitanya Bhagavat. And it starts off by them speaking. And the purpose of them speaking is to prove the statement Patita Pavan. And how they go about doing it is so interesting. So they start off by saying, and now they're talking about Lord Krishna. And they said, many times you have descended to this world and you have delivered sinners. The whole world sings the glories of your wonderful activities. This is a fact, isn't it? We all know how Lord Krishna has appeared and he's delivered many sinners. So now they go into a little analysis. And you don't have to answer, but just think about it. If someone was to ask you from all of the Vedic texts that you've studied, who would you say are examples of the greatest sinners that were delivered? Just think about it for a moment. And I'll tell you how they went about it. So they said, in our mind, one of the greatest sinners who was delivered was Ajamil. He was one of the greatest sinners that was delivered. And everybody proclaims the greatness of how Ajamil was delivered. But they say, listen, he was fit for liberation. So you can't compare him to us. Ajamil was fit for liberation. Why was he fit for liberation? Because he chanted the holy name. Although he chanted the holy name in the stage of Namabhas, but Haridas Thakur says even Namabhas can give on liberation. And it is said, even if one kills a million brahmanas, if you chant the holy name in the stage of Namabhas, you are delivered from all of your sins. So he chanted this holy name in the stage of Namabhas. He was freed of sins. He was liberated. So you can't compare him to us. Please just leave Ajamil out for now. And also, let's just maybe just talk a little bit more about Ajamil. Ajamil, he had the good fortune of getting witness of four of the Vishnu Dutas, direct associates of the Lord. He was benedicted. He didn't get to see the Lord, he saw four Vishnu Dutas. But look at us. Who are we seeing? We are seeing the Supreme Personality of God at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're seeing His direct expansions, Lord Nityananda and His associates, and we're seeing all of His followers. So we are most unqualified, but we are getting the biggest benediction. Therefore, our case is better than Ajamil. He said, okay, leave that evidence. Let's move on. Who was another very sinful person? Nigari Danta. He doesn't use them, but he says Kamsa. Let's talk about Kamsa. He was very sinful. And maybe people can compare us because he attacked you. We also attacked you. Because there's some similarities there. So let's compare Kamsa with us. Kamsa was liberated, we all know that. But Kamsa, he was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. You know that, eh? Kamsa was thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. We were not thinking. We didn't even know who we are. If someone asked us who we are, we wouldn't know. We didn't know who we were. We didn't know where we were. We didn't know what we were doing. So Kamsa, don't compare. He was thinking 24 hours. We were not even thinking. So our deliverance is far greater than Kamsa's. Far greater than Kamsa's. And then anyway, let's just talk about more about Kamsa. When Kamsa died, nobody wanted to go touch his body. Nobody wanted to do his final rites. Just like when Ravan died, even Vibhishan didn't want to go. He said, he's too sinful. I won't do his final rites, although I meant to be doing it. I won't do his final rites. And he said, Kamsa, his whole dynasty was vanquished. Nobody wanted to touch his body. But when we got delivered, previously when anyone would see us, firstly they will jump in the Ganges and purify themselves. But now, they are coming in hugging us. They're embracing us. So don't talk about Kamsa, please. Don't talk about Kamsa. The mercy you have shown Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is greater. This is greater. And then he said, okay, now let's move on to the really big one. Who is quoted as the greatest example of mercy in the Srimad Bhagavatam? You know Sutta Prabhu? It's the verse that was quoted to attract Shukadev Goswami when he ran away. Yes. Aho baki yamstana kula kalakutam jigam saya payayad api asadvi lebe gatim datri uchitam tatonyam kamva dayalum sharanam rajema. And the translation of this verse is spoken by Uddhava in the third canto, second chapter. Where Uddhava in his ecstasy says, alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon Putana? Although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. So this is quoted as the greatest example of mercy, because here came a demon with the intention of killing Krishna. But what Krishna did? He didn't see she was a demon. He saw in it attention, he saw her as a mother, and he gave her the topmost position of achieving. So how can there be? How can there be an example of greater mercy than this? So this is often quoted as the epitome of mercy. So how is Jagat and Madai going to counteract this one? It's very interesting. I'll read, because again, you can see they're blessed by Saraswati Devi, to quote. And they said, okay, you know, Putana, firstly, let's just talk about this verse. They say that Putana achieved liberation. Who knows? Who knows she received liberation? Was someone there to see she was achieving liberation? No. They only know because Srimad Bhagavatam says it. Shukadev Goswami says it. Which means only those who are Vedic scholars would know. Those who know Bhagavatam, who know Sanskrit. Only they know that Putana was delivered. But look at us. Everyone in the world knows we are delivered. Not only a few Vedic scholars, everybody knows Jagai and Madai have been delivered. And then, another point. Putana, what happened to her after she died? They cut her body up into pieces and they burnt the body. Us, what happened after we are delivered? We are glorified. People come and say, Jagai and Madai, great sadhus, let's take dust from their lotus feet. He said, this is proof that you are Patita Pavana. Our case is the best case of anyone who's been delivered. So this is such a beautiful section of the Chaitanya Bhagavat where they prove that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is indeed Patita Pavana. There are other aspects to be said, so I think I will stop here. I will conclude the class with reading one of my favorite verses from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which talks about the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then I'll just speak a little bit about Jayadev Goswami, because I was requested that today is the disappearance day of Jayadev Goswami. Just speak a little bit about Jayadev Goswami. So this is from the Antya Lila, text number 68 and 69. And it's categorized as merciful and magnanimous Mahaprabhu. Adbhuta dayalo chaitanya adbhuta vadanyaya aichi dayalo date loke nahi shunye anya sarve bhava vajaloka chaitanya charana yaha hoite pabe krishna premamrita dhana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is wonderfully merciful and magnanimous. We have heard of no one else within this world so merciful and charitable. O people of the world, worship the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all respects. Only in this way will you achieve the nectarian treasure of ecstatic love for Krishna. So it's a beautiful verse. And I will read one verse from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter number 13, entitled The Advent of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is number 42. Vidyapati Jaya Deva Chandidasya Ragita Ashvadena Ramananda Swarupa Sahita. Translation. The Lord used to read the books of Vijayapati, Jayadev and Chandidas, relishing their songs with his confidential associates like Sri Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. So the context of this verse is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first 24 years of his life as a sannyasi, he traveled, he preached, and the last 20 so odd years of his life, he went into the internal mood in the Gambira, just absorbing himself in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And what did he do in the Gambira? Most of his time was spent with his two associates, Sri Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami. And what would they do? They would read the books of three Vaishnavas, Vijayapati, Jayadev, and Chandidas. So I'll read the purport by Srila Prabhupada, because the purport explains a bit about the history of Jayadev. So, okay, the first part is about Vijayapati. Because of time and we want to leave some time for questions, I'll go into the second paragraph where Srila Prabhupada talks about Jayadev. Jayadev was born during the reign of Maharaj Lakshman Sena of Bengal in the 11th or 12th century of the Shaka era. His father was Bojadev and his mother was Vamana Devi. For many years, he lived in Navadvip, then the capital of Bengal. His birthplace was in Birbham district in the village of Kendu Bilva. In the opinions of some authorities, however, he was born in Orissa, and still others say that he was born in southern India. He passed the last days of his life in Jagannath Puri. One of his famous books is Gita Govinda, which is full of transcendental mellow feelings of separation from Krishna. The gopis felt separation from Krishna before the rasa dance, as mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Gita Govinda expresses such feelings. There are many commentaries on the Gita Govinda by many Vaishnavas. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur comments in this connection that such feelings of separation as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed from the books of Vijayapati, Chandidas and Jayadev were especially reserved for persons like Sri Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, who were Paramahamsas, men of the topmost perfection because of their advanced spiritual consciousness. Such topics are not to be discussed by ordinary persons imitating the activities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For critical students of mundane poetry and literally men without God consciousness or after bodily sense gratification, there is no need to reach such a high standard of transcendental literature. Persons who are after sense gratification try not to imitate Raganuga devotional service. The songs of Chandidas, Vijayapati and Jayadev describe the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mundane reviews of the song simply help people in general become debauchees, and this leads only to social scandals and atheism in the world. One should not misunderstand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna to be the activities of the mundane young boy and girl. The mundane sexual activities of young boys and girls are most abominable. Therefore, those who are in bodily consciousness and who desire sense gratification are forbidden to indulge in discussions of the transcendental pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna. So one may, hearing this, think that the writings of Jayadev Goswami are not for us. We should not go anywhere near it. And for this way, we may not be able to come so close to Jayadev Goswami. Because in one sense, we come close to an author or a Vaishnava by connection with their writings. But we shouldn't think like that. We should not think that we will always remain unqualified. We should think that by the mercy of Harinam, one day I will become freed from contamination. And one day by the blessings of Harinam and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our spiritual masters, one day I will get the opportunity to understand what is real separation as expressed in Gita Govinda. So I'll conclude and stop here. Thank you very much. I apologize if I spoke for too long. Are there any questions or comments that anyone has? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your class. The comparison you gave last one, which was with Putana, is it because they also tried to kill Nityanand Prabhu, or why did they compare Putana? Because in earlier two examples, their acts were similar to, you know, the example. Whereas Putana tried to kill Krishna and Krishna gave depression. So is it because they tried to attack Nityanand Prabhu? Is that why they are comparing Putana?
There's a few reasons. One of them you have quietly identified, because in all three examples they try to draw similarities, you know. So yes, you know, one, they try to kill Nityananda. And she tried to kill Krishna. But it was mainly because Putana's example was used in the verse Ahaubaki as the exemplar example of mercy being shown. Yeah, that is...